You're tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more. Now your hosts, Cody Pinnick, Samantha Cross, Sam Dunham, and Josh Harrison.
Hey everybody, welcome to Nerd Overload, the pop and geek culture show that is literally drowning in news this week. Help us, we're dying.
Help, blub, blub, blub. Glub, glub.
I'm Cody, and I'll be your captain.
I'm Sam, and I am good at the backstroke.
I'm Josh. And I'm Josh, and my feet don't touch the ground.
Samantha, stay out of the dark water. Watch out for that glass shark.
We have a great show for you this week. Thank you all for tuning in. Thank you for coming back from our hiatus week, our encore presentation from last week.
And keeping strong through that very weird opening we just did.
Oh, yeah. We're powering through. But, so we came back with news from San Diego Comic-Con. That was last weekend. So much news. In fact, we're going to skip the check 'em outs section of the show and just dive into a full news, just a full news show.
Yep. Skip right past the self-indulgent portion of the show, straight into the hot, steaming news.
That's right. All right, so let's go ahead and jump into some of this news. And you know what? Let's start with the Star Trek Picard stuff.
Yep, so CBS released a new trailer for the limited or Jumpstart series, whatever there's going to be, for Picard,
mm-hmm.
a post-Star Trek Nemesis prime timeline Star Trek show starring Sir Patrick Stewart back as Picard. It takes place, we don't know, like 20 years after?
I would say, yeah, probably.
Because he says something about like two decades, yada, yada. Mm-hmm. I haven't watched Nemesis in a really long time, so I don't remember a lot of the things.
However many years passed since that came out.
Right. You're probably right.
He's aged in real time because he's aged in real time.
Yeah, exactly.
To be fair, he's looked the same for almost like 30-something years.
This is true.
That is very true.
So anyway, so Picard, new trailer.
Couple of surprises in that trailer.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of callbacks, a lot of cool stuff from that.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I look forward to actually watching the show, and because Next Generation being like that era of Star Trek being like my Star Trek home,
mm-hmm.
I'm definitely excited about the show.
Mm-hmm. We got Data back.
Oh, that was a...
Yeah, Brent Spiner and his weird, like, totally made up rubber face.
Yeah, like they applied a lot of makeup to make him look not so kind of old, and he's gained weight over the years since his time as Commander Data.
Yes, but he's back.
Well, they pull out a drawer and he's like in pieces parts.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pretty cool effect.
And those contacts are still creepy.
Oh yeah. Well, there's another shot where he's playing cards with Picard, and I have a theory about that. They're playing Picards. Yes. I kind of have a theory because he mentions, you know, he doesn't want the game to end. I think Picard is in some kind of holodeck and he is like booted up like poker.exe with like hologram data.
Poker with data.exe.
Yeah. And he knows that if he plays the game and actually beats,
the hologram is
going to disappear or something.
There were a few episodes where Data and them do play cards in the show.
Yeah.
I mean, it was definitely a pastime of theirs.
Sure. We have 7 of 9.
Yeah. That was wild. I was like not expecting that.
Yeah.
She's not even from Next Gen. She's from Voyager.
Yeah. She doesn't really know Picard, right?
Well, I'm sure everybody in Federation knows Picard.
Everybody knows Picard.
Yeah,
at this point in time.
Yeah, good point.
I mean,
good point.
Also, especially her being ex-Borg, she's definitely going to know who Picard is.
Yeah.
And this, speaking of which, this heavily, heavily has to do with the Borg.
Yep. Well, you do see a Borg cube either being built or decommissioned or recommissioned.
I think the...
Romulans?
Weird stranger that... Like
the girl
that Picard is trying to help, I think she is like next generation Borg.
So kind of like
Borg dot like 2.0.
So kind of like next generation Cylons from like Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah, I think that's what's going on.
Next generation Borg.
Yeah, yeah. But like a sleeper agent Borg or something like that.
The Borg are evolving.
Yeah,
being less space zombie locust.
I'm going to have to watch Nemesis, aren't I?
Maybe.
I mean,
though the Nemesis was really Romulan heavy.
It was, it was very Romulan.
With some cloning stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Not that that was foreign thing to the Romulans, because they did bring back Tasha Yar, sort of. But I'm excited for it.
Oh, yeah. Same here.
Yeah.
There are a bunch of new characters who we don't know who they are yet.
Mm-hmm. I think that this is going to be a jumping off point after the limited run of Picard. I have a feeling that it's a backdoor pilot for a new series because Discovery's not doing it. for CBS, and this is kind of a back to basics.
I hope it's a back to basics. I mean, it does look like it might have some action. There are some darker scenes.
That is kind of the only thing I'm concerned with.
Yeah.
There's action.
I mean, as much as that might like excite some people, Star Trek was never really about the action.
It's not.
When we did get it, it was cool. It was interesting. But that's not why, especially, at least not for me anyway. I can't speak for anybody else, but for me, that's not why I watched Star Trek.
The action was in service to the greater philosophical questions that the show asked.
Yeah.
The action in this trailer is very reminiscent of the J.J. Abrams.
Some of the space scenes did look like that, yes,
uh-huh.
So which that made me a little nervous.
I am a little concerned about that, yeah. So, okay, so we have to move on from this, but
yes.
Last thing, if you guys had to pick one character from a previous Star Trek to show up as a guest in one episode, who would it be?
Worf.
Worf, okay.
You didn't even have to think about that.
Worf's my favorite character. I love the Klingons as a whole. I'm kind of wired that way.
Sure. No, that makes sense. You know, Vikings and whatnot. Yeah.
Janeway did pop up in a movie as an admiral.
That's true. Janeway did pop up. Janeway would be pretty great.
That was my pick, was Janeway. Oh.
I almost thought she was going to be the person that Picard was talking to in the office.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Who's that chef guy? I can't remember his name.
Neelix?
Yeah.
Oh, Neelix. Yeah.
Get that's some Voyager?
Yeah. It would have been good.
Tuvok.
Tuvok is also good.
Get Tuvix in there. The weird teleporter malfunction.
I remember that one.
Yeah.
Voyager's a really good show.
It is a very good show.
I like Voyager a lot.
But yeah. I almost feel like they'd have to pull somebody from like maybe DS9 since we have...
Scott Baio from Enterprise?
No.
That's who was on that, right? Scott Baio?
Scott Baio? Yeah. not Scott Baio.
Bacula. Scott Bacula.
Bacula.
I mean, technically that takes place before Kirk.
That's
so
true.
Yeah.
He'd probably be dead.
Hey, it's Star Trek. Time travel.
This is true.
Yeah.
Like I said, they've already got 7 of 9. It's a show about Picard. They could probably just get a DS9 character. Maybe Sisko. Or, I mean,
he could come in and sing the thong song.
Dang it.
That was good.
You got me.
I, as much as I do not care for Will Wheaton, it would be nice to see Wesley Crusher show back up, if nothing else.
To see what happened to him.
Wait. Shut up, Wesley.
Yeah. He hates that phrase, by the way.
Oh, he does?
Oh, yeah. It actually kind of triggers like his...
Oh, well, that's why he left Twitter, because he's a big baby and he's tired of people telling him to shut up.
But no, it might have been Nemesis, where Riker and Troy get married and he gets his own ship.
Oh, yeah.
I could see that being a plot point.
Yeah, you know what?
Like maybe Riker showing up with
Riker's
his ship.
Riker's probably the better answer. And you know what? He probably will, because chances are he's probably going to direct a couple episodes of this, because Frakes is a...
Jonathan Frakes, yeah.
He's as much a director now as he is a... Probably more so.
Yeah.
You're right. It's true.
It's true.
It's correct. You're absolutely correct.
No, we made that up.
We made that up. All right. So,
hey, remember when he was on Gargoyles?
Oh, yeah. Like, there's a lot of Star Trek on Gargoyles.
There really is.
Yeah. But, okay, we got to
yeah, we gotta go going.
Got to keep
this train going.
Got to keep moving.
Do we, though? We got plenty of time.
There was a little more Star Trek news.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah, we forgot about the other half of the... Trek.
Yeah, so they also showcased at least some stills, from what I understand, and I think the cast did talk a little at a panel, of an animated series called Lower Decks.
Animated comedy series.
Yeah, which takes place in the post-Nemesis Next Generation timeline.
It does?
And that's what I read.
Not on the Enterprise, but
yeah,
on,
not
its,
on the
on
Enterprise,
a different
on
ship.
A different ship.
Mm-hmm.
But it looks fun.
It does. They're kind of chomping at the Orville style a little bit.
It's which like, is fine.
It's like they saw the Orville and went, oh.
That's what we should be doing.
That's funny. And also, it looks kind of like Star Trek. Star Trek, Family Guy, the Orville mashed together.
Yeah. With an art style that's kind of been going around a little bit. Like, kind of like a...
It's like that What's Up Scooby-Doo? Or what's it called?
Yes.
Be Cool.
Be Cool.
That looks like... No, it's better looking than that.
Well, yeah.
It's not... That's the thing I like about it, is it's at least doesn't look ugly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
Almost every adult animated series looks ugly as sin.
Yeah.
I don't know why this is. But this actually doesn't look ugly.
Watch Inner Space. I think you'd really like it.
Or Final Space?
Final Space, yeah.
I have watched probably...
Inner Space is a different... That's a movie.
That's a,
I've watched about half of it. It is pretty good.
I like that show. Mm-hmm. But anyway...
And this is very reminiscent of that. Visually.
And also, the fact that it is a Star Trek animated series and one of the cat aliens shows up.
So that's cool.
Because that is...
From the original animated series,
which is terrible.
Oh, it's...
There's some good gifts, but it's a bad show.
The animation is terrible, but the writing...
writing is Star Trek.
Yeah, it's written by all the same people that wrote the original series, more or less.
And
it's just a shame that Filmation did the rest of it. Yeah.
If it were Hanna-Barbera, that show would have lasted like 4 or 5 more seasons, I think.
Yeah.
Or at least a couple.
And would have looked worse in a different way entirely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There'd be a lot of them like running through the decks with like a looped background.
Yeah, and there would have been an animal sidekick character.
A tiny talking animal?
Yeah.
I don't know. They did have the alien cat girl.
No, this would have been like a dog.
Like a Scooby-Doo.
Or a Snarf.
Or it would have been like Star Trek meets the Shmoo.
They would have had an inexplicably talking Tribble.
Yeah.
A Tribble buddy with a face.
Or a Revolutionary War ghost with a cat.
Oh, Funky Phantom is so weird.
So anyway, this show looks like a lighter take on Star Trek.
Yes.
It looks cool. It looks interesting. One of the characters has like a cybernetic implant that he's not used to, and that's going to be like his character thing going on. And
the only thing that troubles me is that they'll go to Robot Chicken with it.
Yeah, perhaps.
We don't know enough. There's not even a trailer for it, it's hard to really say what's going on with it.
Yeah, it's hard to grok the tone of it.
Yeah, as long as the series has like an overarching like season like storyline, if it's not just an episodic, you know, joke of the week kind of thing, if it actually has like
a point
like by the beginning, from beginning to end of the season, there's like something happens.
If it's sci-fi first, comedy second, but not even like second, like comedy adjacent sci-fi. Yes. I don't know what I'm trying to say, but
I mean, even Star Trek had jokes. Like even like regular Star Trek has jokes in it.
They're not good, but
it depends.
Are you kidding? When Spock got hit with the alien spores and smacked Kirk around, that's hilarious.
or when Kirk gets split between his two halves in the teleporter,
had
like evil or aggressive Kirk and passive Kirk.
Mm-hmm.
When he's going full Shatner ham.
When Star Trek tries to be funny, it's like the broadest version of comedy you can imagine.
Yeah, that's true.
And mostly it was like at Data's expense.
Usually, yes.
But anyway, I like the look of it. I like the design. I like all the character designs. All the characters look different.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're not just all like basically interchangeable heads.
Yeah.
Also, that's not Rick and Morty it either.
That's
another way that's another it could thing. Go.
Yeah, yep. Okay, we got to
keep rolling.
Actually, adjacently, we talked about the Orville.
Yes.
That got picked up for a third season.
Excellent.
On Hulu instead of Fox, which is
weird. Yeah, it's going to be exclusively on Hulu.
That's fine. They probably get more watchers on Hulu than
I think
they
most
do
people
else.
Are watching it on Hulu.
Yeah, that's where we watch it.
So that's fine. I'm cool with that.
I'm glad it got... I hope it gets another one after that.
Me too.
Yeah, it avoids the Fox curse.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be great.
I mean, it did get a second season, so... Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, so Kevin Smith has seen and heard things about Star Wars Episode 9.
Yeah, he said... go ahead.
He said something about how the final scene is going to melt your mind, actual quote, because it sounds like Kevin Smith said something. So
now, how high was he when he saw it?
See, that's the thing. well, these days, probably at least a little.
I mean, he has always been losing weight.
He lost like 100 pounds.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's lost a lot of weight. He's almost unrecognizable.
He almost died.
Yeah.
This is true. He did have a huge heart attack.
Yep. Anyway, yeah, so this is pure speculation. What do you guys think the big thing is?
Man.
Because I have a theory.
I really hope it's not Rey's parentage, because I like her being somebody who's not tied to the bloodline.
Agreed.
See, so he's talking about... Okay, so here's my thing. He's talking about the final scene of Episode 9. This is supposed to wrap up the Skywalker story, which means a whole section of Star Wars universe, like the important, like the interesting part of Star Wars universe.
You mean all of it?
Yeah, is going to wrap up. What hasn't Star Wars done? Time travel.
Yeah. No.
What if? This is the dumbest answer, and I hate it, but what if Episode 9 ends with some kind of time travel shenanigans that changes things in the previous one so that they can continue to tell stories about the adventures of young Luke, young Han, young Leia, young Darth Vader, bringing Vader back. Time travel.
What if
in the trailers, there's a lot of shots of them, like, a big part of the story is they're going to have to go back to the second Death Star that's crash-landed on,
a planet.
I'm guessing whatever planet Endor was the moon of. That is my assumption. Yeah. What if the power core in there is, what if things, like, take a turn for the worst and someone goes, if you mix enough midichlorians with the power source of...
They won't say that word.
Well, they won't. But, like, but you know what I mean. You mix the force with enough force power with, like...
Force power.
The yeah. It's a 7-horsepower engine. But, like, mix that with,
the
like...
new the new Ford Super Hemi with 400 horsepowers.
But mix that with, like, the engine of the Death Star, and you can go back in time and fix, like, one mistake, and that one mistake makes a whole new line of Star Wars so that Disney can continue to crank out Star Wars things forever and ever.
They stop the vote for Palpatine become Chancellor.
Yeah. Yeah, that is my theory. Because also,
and that's how they bring Palpatine back.
That's how they bring Palpatine back. Also, Avengers worked.
Yeah.
There is precedent for time travel stories being popular right now.
God, I hope not.
I mean, it is one of the few sci-fi tropes they haven't done.
I hope they don't ever touch time travel in Star Wars.
Compelling argument.
Compelling argument for Palpatine coming back. It makes more sense than them being like, oh, he wasn't dead.
He's just a Force ghost.
Yeah.
I mean, evil Force ghosts are a thing in the universe.
Yeah.
But
like, he's a red hologram instead of a blue hologram.
You know, that's what they do.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh, 100%.
That's what all the games did.
And there's going to be a climactic battle with evil red Force ghost Palpatine versus good blue Force ghost Luke, because you know, you gotta.
And then Yoda shows back up. And then Yoda shows back up.
And he starts up the Human Instrumentality Project.
God. All right. So.
Wow.
Okay, we have gotten all of the references that 90% of our listeners won't get out of the way. Let's move on to... Oh, you know what? Get the button ready.
Oh, no.
It's Power Rangers time. So there were a couple of announcements. A lot of toy announcements, which were really cool.
Oh, man, they were so good.
The Lightning series is looking excellent.
Basically, Lightning is Hasbro's answer to the Legacy Collection.
Or the Star Wars Black.
Star Wars Black or Marvel Legends.
Marvel Legends, yeah, that sort of thing. The next wave is coming out, which is great. But as far as the show's concerned, the big news is there is going to be a giant crossover episode in the next season of Beast Morphers, which will feature all three of the dinosaur-themed seasons. That
yep.
is original Mighty Morphin, Dino Thunder,
yep.
and Dino Charge.
Yep.
So that's a lot of Rangers all together. The other big thing is Austin St. John, the guy who played Jason the original Red, is going to show back up, his first time being back in like an official Power Ranger capacity.
For a while.
Well, I guess technically he played himself in the Battle for the Grid fighting game. Technically.
Yeah.
But on television.
I don't think he's been on the show since it was Gold.
Since Forever Red.
Mm, right.
Yeah.
Do you think that Hasbro is willing to actually give him money as opposed to Saban, the cheapest man in the universe?
I think they're going to give him money. I think that's part of the reason why he's coming back. That's actually one of the reasons why you don't see a lot of Power Ranger actors come back. And when you do, it's always the same ones over and over. Power Rangers, for as, you know, culturally relevant as the show is, it has always been non-union. So any actor that gets their SAG card are immediately knocked out of the running of ever coming back. So Rose McIver, it's never coming back.
She's too good for it anyway.
I also agree. What's her name from Time Force, the Pink Ranger?
Oh, yeah.
Jen.
I remember her name.
She's an actual actress,
yep.
So she's not coming back. So you see the same actors coming back. That's why you see Megaforce Yellow, Sierra Hanna, always come back. She does nothing but conventions and Power Rangers.
Oh, so like Jason David Frank.
And JDF. Well, of course, JDF.
The guild wouldn't have him.
Yeah.
I don't blame them.
Yeah.
So that, which actually leads into the last Power Ranger thing. We're almost done. I promise. Give me 2 seconds. They did some comic announcements for it, including the newest run.
I'll let it pass since it's comic related.
Oh, thank you. The newest issue of the newest run of both the main book and the Go-Go Power Rangers side book released this past Wednesday, and they are introducing a storyline explaining where Jason, Zach, and Trini went after halfway through season two when they said they went to the Peace Conference and left the show because they were fired from the show.
Basically run off the show.
No, it's just straight up fired. They went in and asked for more money, and because they're non-union, they were fired. But anyway, in the comics, they're explained away that they're actually off-world on a super secret, like, covert mission from Zordon and have been given new powers. They are the Omega Rangers.
I mean, it kind of worked for Kimberly's book.
Yeah.
I mean, that definitely got us the coolest looking Power Ranger costume ever.
Mm-hmm. These designs are actually really, really good, too. During the break, I'll show you. They're excellent. And I can't wait for the storyline to go.
I did see a really cool looking hardbound of the first run come out today.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's got like that really cool like helmet on the chest cover.
Oh, yeah. Well, they do those a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, but this one's like a hardbound like collection.
And that's cool. Yeah. Anyway, okay. Power Rangers done. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Thank you. That was the lights being flipped on and off, if you guys couldn't hear the clicks.
It's the Power Ranger light.
It's Power Ranger light. Okay.
You have to add a sound effect or something.
I should, yeah.
It should be like the sparking sound when they get hit.
Let's see. We have time for one more before the break. Do we want to talk about cats?
We got to talk about cats.
It's real short and it's real quick.
There's a trailer for the movie version of Cats, and boy, is it weird.
Oh, man, I hate it.
You know, the Broadway show about the alley cats?
Where they wear the costumes that they're kind of weird, but not completely off-putting? Well, now they're completely off-putting.
Because they're really weird and CG.
Weird CGI monstrosities. Oh, they're also tiny? Yeah,
yeah,
that's
that
right.
Bothers me a lot, too, is like they're cat size in the set, but they're also human proportions.
Yeah, it's not great.
Yeah, there's like that one shot where she's sitting at the table behind the really big plate.
And she's got the big fork and the big knife in her hand.
Oh man, that's awful. There have been some good memes coming out of this, like a bunch of pictures of Sir Ian McClellan as his cat with people putting like, "You should have killed me when I had the chance, Charles! This cat carrier won't contain me forever!"
Like, if you haven't seen the trailer, go watch it because, boy, is it weird.
Like, you want to talk about, like, some uncanny valley unsettling things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's this.
Oh, no. My favorite thing was when we're on vacation, we're watching Today's Show, and Al Roker was just dying. just ripping it.
Oh, that's so awesome. Funny.
Like, the Broadway show was already kind of weird with their costumes.
Mm-hmm.
It always was for
the
like
decades.
The whole
thing is weird. It's a really weird show.
Do you know the plot of it?
They're like picking a cat to go up in that tire into space.
go to heaven. It's about a death cult.
Yeah.
It's a cat death cult.
Yeah. They're based on poems, I guess.
T.S. Eliot poems.
And
they all have the most incredibly stupid names you've ever heard. Yeah.
Quick, name them.
My favorite was it Rum Tum Tugger is one. Mr. Mistopheles is one.
Mm-hmm. Bramble Pelt.
No, that's a warrior cat.
Oh, but yeah, this is bad. The cast is pretty good.
I mean, yeah, they got lots of like big names and stuff in it, but.
There's a T-Swift cat.
There's what's her name from American Idol?
J-Hud's cat.
The only cat that actually doesn't look like Nightmare is Judi Dench.
Isn't there one of them that wears a hat?
That is Idris Elba slinking around.
When
like
he
a
has
weird...
the hat on, it's not as bad.
Yeah. James Corddry looks awful.
Judi Dench. I'm just a mad. I'm like, wait a minute. She played a cat before. She was McGonagall.
That's not
Judi Dench. I'm like, oh man, I messed that. That's a different older British lady.
Yeah, that's Maggie Smith, dude. You're thinking of.
Don't be racist.
Come on.
Old lady.
Do you think all old British ladies look the same, Josh?
I mean, have you seen the Queen?
No, Josh, that's Glenn Close.
Is she British?
She's not even British.
Not the boo box.
Oh, gosh.
She's not British, is she?
No.
No.
I don't know. I was just thinking about Cruella De Vil, who's also not British.
No. Okay, so... Okay, we're losing the thread on this one. So let's go ahead and take a break here, and when we come back, we'll get into a whole bunch more news.
Do you think the Cat in the Hat will be in the after credits of Cats?
Absolutely.
Meow.
Hey, we're back. That was a cover of Cat Scratch Fever by Motorhead, because this is a Ted Nugent-free zone.
Yes.
All right, so hey, we can't waste a whole bunch of time, so let's get into some more news before we do the Marvel stuff. Let's talk about some video games. There's some video game news.
Mr. Itoy, how do you pronounce his first name?
Shigesato.
Shigesato Itoy, the creator of the Mother/Earthbound franchise, has reiterated in an interview that he's cool with a Mother 4 as long as he doesn't have to be the one that makes it.
He doesn't have to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's open to the idea of other people making a Mother game or Earthbound game.
Yeah. So for the folks who don't know, Mother or Earthbound, as it's known here in America, is a pretty great, like, classic JRPG. But it's, like, based on, like, a weird, like, stylized version of what Japan thinks America is like, kind of, sort of. It's very quirky. That's probably the best way to describe it, is quirky. Like, instead of swords and stuff, you have, like, baseball bats and yo-yos, but also psychic powers.
Yeah, it's one of my most favorite games ever made.
It's pretty great.
It's plays like Dragon Quest, but is very much its own thing.
And it has a very unique-looking look to it, I think.
We still don't have a Earthbound 3 in America.
We don't have a port of Mother 3, But this is kind of a double-edged sword kind of thing, because we were talking before the show, more of Earthbound is great, but a lot of its charm is Itoy's writing.
Yeah, it came straight out of him. Like, every dialogue in the game was dictated by him to someone putting it into the game.
Yeah.
So it is very much his voice. And it would be bizarre to see it anywhere else.
I just
else.
Don't think it would capture the magic that those first couple, three games.
Yeah.
Yeah. But if they were to do another one, and if they were to find someone with a similar enough writing style, I'm sure it would be fine. It would be enjoyable.
That's why Undertale is obviously very inspired by it.
Incredibly.
But it is also Toby's very unique, only his voice coming out of Undertale. And that's why it works so well.
Right. Right. But yeah, I mean, I'm down for it. I just think that it would be tough to match.
And yeah, it'd be a tough job for whoever picks up the mantle on that one, too.
Right.
If anyone picks up the mantle for it.
Yeah. But like Josh, you mentioned with Mother 3, if they were to do a fourth one, that would highly like increase the likelihood of
the third one being
brought to America. So that sense,
it's 30th anniversary. The 30th anniversary of the franchise is coming up here in a couple weeks.
So
I mean, if there was any time Nintendo wanted to announce Mother 3 getting released, you know, it'd be a good time.
That would be pretty great. All right. So the last bit of news is a Death Stranding thing.
Which we've talked about this before, too. Mm-hmm. It's Hideo Kojima, creator of Metal Gear's next game that's weird.
It's weird. Super weird.
It's the first game to come out of his own company.
Yeah,
right.
He's had no one tell him no on this one.
And it shows?
Yeah.
I'm ready for it.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, no, I'm down for
like
this.
Like at this point, I just want to play it because I'm curious on how weird it's going to
get. Oh yeah, this is a day one buy for me, for sure.
Oh, for sure. But the he ran a panel at Comic-Con this year, and I mean, the main thing was he showed off the cover of the box, and it's just Norman Reedus on the cover.
Is he wearing clothes?
He is wearing clothes. But the other thing was, okay, so there are a trio of characters that have like almost no background so far that Kojima.
And here come their real names.
Here come their real actual names, the names of characters that are in an actual AAA video game. You have Heartman, Deadman, and Die Hardman.
I think DC wants to have a talk with you.
Yeah. You know, it's either Dead Man or Death Man, I think.
Yeah.
I think it's Dead Man.
Metal Gear had a guy named Hot Coldman.
Yeah, that's true. But so he was asked a little bit about that. He gave away this little bit of news about the character Heartman. Apparently, his whole character arc is every 21 minutes, Heartman's heart stops. While he's dead, he searches for his dead friends and families as a ghost. And then he comes back to life. And while he's killing time before dying again, he likes to like listen to music and watch short films.
Not long films, though.
No, I mean, can you imagine trying to watch, like, the Lord of the Rings extended cut in 21 minute chunks?
Dang it. So somebody pause it.
He has but Netflix. Like, are you still watching?
But, like, this is such an out there concept for a game that has, like, a very nebulous, at best, plot. But it's.
I hope he does this Fred Sanford, like, heart attack bit every time.
I'm coming, Elizabeth. But like, I just
literally, he's gonna go look for his wife.
Yeah, yeah. Like, this is both the weirdest thing and the most Kojima thing heard. And I am so curious what Die Hard Man's thing is now. Does he just love Die Hard?
He watches it, and then every time it's over, he dies.
He doesn't wear shoes.
Yeah, and walks on everywhere he goes. There's glass.
Yes, that's it.
And it's Christmas.
Yeah.
Perpetually stuck in a ventilation shaft.
He's just walking around the wasteland, like stuck in a section of ventilation.
Yes, that's it. So Death Stranding, yeah, it continues to be weird.
It's going to be so weird.
Yeah. All right. So now is the time for the Marvel news, because that is the big stuff. We've been saving it.
There's so much.
Man, we've been saving it all at once.
They did nothing last year, I guess, because they were saving it all for this year.
They really were. So we have the list of movie news. So we're going to start with Black Widow. There's a Black Widow movie coming. They've been working on it. They did a lot of announcements for it. Basically announced, there was a short kind of a proof of concept. It's not like a full trailer or a teaser or anything, but like just some action scenes or whatever.
Yeah.
They showed off a couple of the villains. Rachel Weisz, who most folks would know from being an excellent actress and also in The Mummy, is...
That's where she's from.
Yeah.
Yeah, yep. She played the main lady.
Evie. She played Evie. Yeah.
Eve.
Yep. But she is Iron Maiden. This movie is going to be definitely like a grounded, like, spy thriller kind of thing.
Also, it's going to be like a prequel. To everything.
Well, not really a prequel to everything, from what I understand. It takes place after the first Avengers movie.
Oh.
It takes place after Age of Ultron, where she goes and goes back to Budapest to clear up her ledger, because that is something she keeps talking about in all those movies.
I forgot all about that.
It's like, yeah. So it's not like all the way back in time kind of thing, but it's like...
It's back when she's still doing shieldy spy work.
Right. But Rachel Weisz is playing... Iron Maiden, who's a character I don't know a whole lot about.
She was part of the program that Black Widow was a part of in Russia.
Gotcha. Like she Project
loves
Red
to
or something.
Run to the hills.
Run for your life. And the other villain, I'm so excited about this. The other villain for the movie, Taskmaster.
That is exciting.
Okay, yeah. So Taskmaster is a guy who
Is he a mutant?
He's not a mutant. He just has something called photographic reflexes.
Right, right.
So he's not super strong. He's not super quick. He has like peak human, like human physical stuff. But anything he sees, any movement he sees once, he could automatically mimic. So like he doesn't have Spider-Man's agility, but he could like Spider-Man swing once and can mimic swinging on webs. He can throw Cap's shield like Cap. He doesn't have the force behind it like Cap. But he can throw it like Cap. He can do trick arrow shots like Hawkeye because he can. That's his whole deal. He sits and watches like videos and videos of like, you know, replays and things. And his whole deal is he's not out for like stealing. He doesn't want to control the world. He doesn't want to like rob a bank. What he does is he sets up mobile henchmen training facilities and uses his abilities to train henchmen for like Hydra and stuff. For a fame,
stuff like that.
And aim and stuff like that. Yeah,
he's not necessarily a villain, but he's not necessarily a good guy.
He has lately been written more as like a begrudging anti-hero or like just on the other side of like the villain side of being an anti-hero, kind of.
Kind of like...
An anti-villain, maybe, I guess.
Well, kind of like how you have like the line of like Deadpool or Punisher. He's like on the other side of that line.
I would say, yeah, probably... Just a step further from Punisher, I guess.
Kind of like how like Venom kind of toes the line from side to side.
Also, they actually gave him a little bit of pathos in a recent book. He was talking to his daughter, who he connected with, and said that, so I have all of this. I can remember things, you know, movements forever, but my short-term memory is completely shot because every time I learn something new,
it replaces something.
Something has to get pushed out, so my short term is just totally trash. But anyway, that's Black Widow.
I mean, he's a really cool... Didn't you say they were going to have Soviet Captain America?
Yes, David Harbour from Stranger Things.
He's going to be
Red Guardian.
Yeah, who is the Russian Captain America.
Russian Captain America.
And he's always good, except for in Hellboy apparently.
That is the one problem.
Like, I want to see the rest of the Winter Guard. Like,
oh, I do too.
Like Ursa.
Dark Star.
What's that one Void Lady?
Void Lady, that's her name.
No, basically her power is like little miniature like black hole kind of thing.
Dark Star.
Is that Dark Star?
Yeah.
Okay.
Who was that? That character was also in The Incredibles 2.
Yeah.
I forget what her name was.
Okay, so next up, TV shows. We're going to talk about some of the Disney Plus
shows. Pseudo TV shows? Really high-end production?
High-end production, limited series, starring the actors from the movies. First up, Falcon and the Winter Soldier. It is a buddy cop show starring Falcon, who is having a hard time settling into his role as Captain America. He's getting a new suit. He is Falcon Cap in this.
Yes.
And Winter Soldier solving crimes.
Sounds good. Sign me up.
And the return of Baron Zemo,
who was in Civil War.
That's right. He was in Civil War. He was the guy that was like...
He set the whole thing off.
Manipulating everything. Was he in Civil War.
Wasn't he the guy that had Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver locked up?
No,
that's Hydra dude.
That was Baron Strucker.
Oh,
yeah,
that was
Strucker.
Yeah. No, this is the one that was like his family died in Sarkovia in Age of Ultron.
Oh,
and
okay.
Like woke up the Winter Soldier to mess with Cap. But yes.
Well, to mess with Cap and Iron Man.
And Iron Man. But he's back in this and he is closer to his comic appearance. His comic appearance, he had like a weird, like purple, like
ski mask
basically.
And a
fur lined coat.
Yep.
And he looks just like it.
He was in the comics though. He was a Hydra character, I think. Though
he was also Citizen V in the Thunderbolts when he disguised himself as a hero, and a bunch of villains disguised themselves as heroes to infiltrate like the hero community and then try to take it down from the inside.
Oh yeah, back during the 50 States Initiative following the original Civil War.
Right.
And they're like, Thunderbolts are go, right?
That's right.
Well, they were
led by Thunderbolt Ross, the Red
Thunderbolt
Hulk.
Thunderbolt 1 through 5.
Yes. Okay, next up, The Eternals, a movie that I don't care too much about.
Is it a movie or is it a series?
It's a movie. Yep, they're doing a movie. So The Eternals are, think of the Asgard scenes from the first two Thor movies, but all on Saturn. They're all offshoots of the same Titans that Thanos is. They don't all look like Thanos. They all look different.
But they're all Titans.
But they're all Titans. They're all basically Thanos level people.
Because Thanos was the mad Titan.
Yeah. So this is...
Which they never really got into the movies and stuff.
Yeah. I don't care about the Eternals, but this cast...
Was Lady Death a Eternal? Or nope. Just Death?
No, she was... She was just Death. But like... I can't even tell you, like Icarus, I think is a character is like the lead character from the Eternals. And I don't care about this, but Selma Hayek's going to be in this movie. Angelina Jolie is going to be in this movie. Kumail Nanjiani is going to be in this movie.
Yeah.
That's reason enough.
The cast is off the proverbial chain.
Yeah. But if any of these phase four movies are going to fail, this is the one that's going to fail. But then again, everyone said that about the first Guardians movie. No one knew who the Guardians were. And now they're like one of the most popular series.
I have a slight knowledge of the characters, but I don't care. I've never cared.
It's Jack Kirby being told, okay, do whatever.
True.
And this is the weird thing that he came up with.
That wasn't like Doctor Strange stuff.
Yeah. Jack Kirby wasn't Doctor Strange.
The art.
No.
I thought he did.
It's a different guy.
Ditko.
I don't remember who. Yeah.
Oh, Steve Ditko. Right.
Yeah. Okay, next up, Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings.
I remember you saying a long time ago that you wanted something like either a Netflix series or something with this character.
Shang-Chi, the Master of Kung Fu, is an awesome character. And this is pretty amazing. It is the first Marvel movie starring an Asian American actor and is 95%. It's the Black Panther for the Asian community, essentially. The actor who they have cast as Shang-Chi, I believe his name is, I'm looking at up.
It's like Simu,
yeah.
But he literally just tweeted one time, hey, Marvel, get at me, # Shang-Chi.
Yeah.
And they did, and now he's Shang-Chi.
Yeah,
which is awesome.
And the fact that they make a Talk of the Ten Rings means, are we going to get a legit Mandarin now?
Simu Lau is the guy playing Shang-Chi, and yes, we are getting the actual Mandarin, not Sir Ben Kingsley from Iron Man 3, not the guy from Iron Man 1, well, I guess he's dead, but this guy, it's Tony Leung, who has been in, was he in The Raid? I think he was in The Raid, the Kung Fu movie where it was, went through, it was basically the Judge the Dread movie, but Kung Fu.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but no, this looks really awesome. I can't wait to see what happens with this.
If we're bringing in the Mandarin and some of the cool stuff, like the cool, weird martial arts stuff from Marvel, does that mean we might get a reference to Fing Fang Foom?
That would be nice.
That would be awesome.
I honestly think that Fing Fang Foom is more likely to show up in one of the other things that is announced here, but we'll get to that when we get to it. Moving on, WandaVision, another of the series. Disney Plus series, yes. Starring Scarlet Witch and the Vision. This one looks weird. It is a couple of screenshots that were posted with it. Looks like it's set in the 50s.
Which is strange.
It deals more with Wanda, the Scarlet Witch, learning more about her powers and finding out she's not just like a weird red telekinetic. It's more like actual magic and reality-altering stuff, which is closer to her comic incarnation. So I'm guessing she has made like a pocket universe where she and the Vision live in like a Leave It to Beaver style thing.
Idyllic
family, and then weird stuff happens.
I mean, that was some of the stuff I liked from Infinity War, was like Vision wearing clothes.
Of all the characters from the recent Avengers movies, I've wanted more of Wanda.
I want more Vision.
I couldn't care less about the Vision, to be
honest. I think
I like Paul Bettany.
I think from Infinity War, when he was given a little more personality,
yes,
that's when I started caring about the Vision. And I think we're getting Elizabeth Olsen and Paul Bettany with this. The other addition to this show is Monica Rambeau. That name might sound familiar if you watched Captain Marvel. Her best friend was Marcia Rambeau. She had a little daughter.
Yeah.
Her daughter, Monica, from the 90s, now grown up into her like mid-20s, early 30s, could possibly see Photon.
Yeah.
Because she is a character and a hero in her own right with like
in the
light,
comics,
with
yeah.
light-based powers.
Yes.
So we could see, and that means this ties directly into Captain Marvel.
I mean, everything's got to tie into everything.
And
it's Marvel.
This also ties into, it's not next on the list, but I want to talk about it, Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness.
I am so excited about this. It's stupid.
Everybody knows Doctor Strange is my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm excited for a Doctor Strange movie that is more than just good.
Scott Derrickson has said that this is the first Marvel MCU movie that is a straight-up horror movie.
And that also makes me stoked because I like horror movies.
Mm-hmm. I want some like Lovecraftian Cthulhu, like just straight up madness.
This
is where Fin Fang Foom could fit in. This is where, you guys have played Marvel versus Capcom, like the old fighting games.
Yes.
Right? Do you remember that one character, Shoggoth, the eye with like the squiggly lines that looks like a beholder? Pop up
that
as
is,
a thing.
That is almost a straight rip from a Cthulhu character.
It is. Yeah.
Gonna take you for a ride.
That'll be amazing.
And WandaVision ties into Doctor Strange.
That could with the reality thing. Yeah.
Scarlet Witch is going to be a supporting character in the Doctor Strange movie. So there we go.
Are they gonna work Doctor Strange's female lead? Is it Clea?
Clea. Yeah.
Are they gonna work her into this?
Probably.
I would hope so.
I would hope so too. Yeah, that would be cool. Okay, more so much news and not a lot of time. Next up, the Loki series. Tom Hiddleston's back, and it's set immediately post the first Avengers, because in Endgame, he gets the Tesseract and alters the timeline by disappearing when he shouldn't have.
Yep.
And this is unrepentant, non-heel turn from Thor 3. Straight up bad guy Loki bopping around.
I mean, he kind of had a heel turn in Thor 2, but
this is before Thor 2.
I know.
So like, he is just straight up bad guy messing with the universe, and I'm totally here for it.
Yeah.
The logo for the show, though, I thought was kind of interesting.
It's bad.
It is bad, but it's all the different letters from all the Thor movie titles.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering if it's going to take place maybe during all the instances in which Loki could be a thing.
That could be.
They're going to green screen him into the movies.
Oh, yeah.
All the Thor movies.
Oh, I'm into it. Yeah, put it in the background. Yep. Yeah.
I mean, from what I read, it's supposed to take place during Endgame.
Yeah, all over the place.
Yeah, so it's going to be everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Next up is an animated series, but this ties, but it actually does.
Oh, is it animated?
It's animated, but it ties in directly, so it actually does count. It is a series called What If. What If was a comic series, a number of comic series from Marvel that were like alternate takes, like what if Captain America continued to wield Mjolnir after Endgame, or what if Tony Stark died
had a bunion on his foot that hurt real bad.
Yeah, what if his. Yeah, stuff like, but you know what? It's stuff like that.
There were some I remember, like, there was a legit one from back in the day where what if Spider-Man was a member of the Fantastic Four?
Yeah.
Which eventually did happen in the actual comics. There was that one. I saw one, I don't know how real it is, but it always cracks me up every time I see it, but it's what if Professor Xavier was the Ghost Rider?
Yeah, that was one. There's
was that
one,
a real one?
That was a real one. There's
with
one.
With his flaming wheelchair.
With his flaming wheelchair. Oh, yeah. So it gave Marvel an excuse to do either weird stories or funny stories or this, that, or the other.
It was their answer to DC's Elseworld.
Yeah. There was one issue back in the early 90s where Carnage, for like two panels, had attached himself to the Silver Surfer before the Power Cosmic blasted him apart.
Yeah.
There was a What If series that I owned as a kid that was What If Carnage maintained
control of the Silver Surfer.
So you had like giant cosmic Carnage flying around on a weird red surfboard.
Yeah.
And yeah, so it's stuff like that. It's a chance to tell weird stories. And the only actor, and like they're getting actors from the movies to voice their
character
counterparts. So yeah, so it fits.
I mean, I guess
technically fits.
I never thought of it, but doing that line of storytelling and everything, it would make sense to make it animated because it would be cheaper than doing that, than making a billion different costumes and a billion different sets.
Yep.
Which I never understood how some live action shows pulled that kind of stuff, mm-hmm. like Highlander and things like that.
Yeah.
Like, where did you get the money for that?
Yeah. It's not worth spending all that money for what if Spider-Man had phantom limb syndrome.
Right. Yeah. What if Spider-Man was an actual had spider powers closer to an actual spider? His web came out of his butt.
Yeah.
There we go. The end.
What if Spider-Man had a brother, but he got turned to stone and was in his closet all the time?
Stuff like that. Right. Whatever. Anyway, next up.
I don't know.
Yeah. It's all sorts of stuff. Yeah. We're getting loopy. I can tell. We're recording late at night this week, guys. It's getting weird up in here. Next up, Hawkeye. Everybody knows my opinion of Hawkeye.
/ Jeremy Renner.
I don't care. But there are two bits of news. This is another Netflix series, or not Netflix, Disney Plus series. The two things that I'm excited for this, one, the logo that they showed for the series is the Matt Fraction run, yeah. Because that is an actual good comic series about basically what if, he's not MacGyver, but what is the TV detective that was like schlubby and down on his luck all the time? Anyway, it is Hawkeye living in New York as a schlubby guy who's like, I'm just the guy with arrows, and he gets beat up a lot, but he gets the job done.
Is this the one where they talk about how the fact that he is partially deaf?
Yes.
All right.
The other thing they mention is he is training Kate Bishop, who is the second Hawkeye.
Yes.
And she is infinitely a better character.
And not Jeremy Renner.
And not Jeremy Renner, who I have very strong opinions on, but whatever. I'm excited. Columbo. Yeah. That's it. It's what if Hawkeye was Columbo, basically.
What did Kate Leth tweet about the Hawkeye show? Something like she hopes that he falls in a hole and comes out, and now he's Arnie Hammer.
You missed the good one.
Well, we're gonna go back. We're gonna do the good one last.
Okay.
Okay. So the biggest surprise. One of the biggest surprises. They announced a new Blade movie.
I've never seen Blade, if you can believe that.
First one's okay.
The first one's okay. The second one's pretty good. Blade Trinity is not good.
That one is trash.
But a lot of people consider Blade to actually be the forerunner of the resurgence of comic book movies because it came out before X-Men.
And it kind of is.
They're not getting Wesley Snipes back, probably for good reason. But
the dude doesn't pay his taxes.
Yeah. But they cast, I mean, the casting for this is near perfect. It is, I'm going to mispronounce his name, Marshala Ali.
Yep.
Folks might know him as from the Luke Cage series as Cottonmouth, the villain.
Yep.
People who know movies would probably know him from the Green Book.
I thought you were going to say the Green Mile.
Not the Green Mile, no. No, the Green Book. It was a based on true events about set in like the 50s and 60s. A black musician is being driven around by an ex-mob. Viggo Mortensen was like his driver. And it was like, you know, people from two different worlds.
I've never seen it.
It's fairly recent. It's very good. Hmm. Actually worth checking out. But Ali is going to be playing Blade.
Yeah, like, it's kind of funny, like, he just kind of, like, they mentioned his name real quick, and then, like, the crowd kind of sat there for a second, and then he put the hat on that said Blade on it.
Yeah.
And then everyone just, like, lost their mind.
It's a good logo, and I hope that a scene from one of the comics pops up in this. Like, there's an Avengers comic where it's like, the Avengers are sitting around, and they're like, okay, we have, you know, we're doing this over here, we're doing this over there, we're saving all these people. Before we go, is there any other, you know, big problems that we can do or fix or whatever, and it's Blade sitting in the corner going, guys, there's so many vampires. can I get some help? There's just so many vampires. But
they need to be dead.
Yeah. But the last thing, and this is the biggest news,
it was like a huge surprise,
huge news. They're doing a fourth Thor movie.
Thor 4.
They should have called it
Four.
Four.
Thor.
Four. But it's called Thor Love and Thunder, being directed by Taika Waititi again, the guy who did
Ragnarok.
Thor 3 and Ragnarok and everything.
The man who can do no wrong.
Yes. The most interesting thing, the most important thing, is Natalie Portman is back as Jane Foster. She is also the new Thor.
They are taking a page, well, a few books, from a pretty newish,
pretty recent,
fairly recent events in the Marvel Universe.
Yes.
Which has thus been fixed because it's comics. But,
wow.
But she takes up the mantle
of Thor. She is Thor. Yeah.
And becomes Thor, the God of Thunder.
In the comics, the hammer decides that Thor is unworthy, kind of.
Well, it's Nick Fury's fault. But
well, anyway, yeah.
Yeah. I could go, that's a whole nother tangent.
That's another time. We don't have a whole lot of time here, but I am excited for this. I think this is great. I can understand some people's trepidation. I mean, okay, so one, there are some people that are like, oh, Thor can't be a woman, and that sucks.
That was the same thing that happened when the book came out.
Yeah, that's a bunch of bull crap.
That's a stinky opinion. However, I can understand some people's trepidation, the people who only know the character from the movies, because Jane's character in Thor 1 and 2
is not written well.
They were not good, and there's a reason why Natalie Portman left. Well, one, because there was supposed to be a female director for Thor 2, and they rolled it back and made a bunch of changes to her character, and she got fed up and quit. But, yeah, Jane Foster's character in Thor 1 was boring, and 2, she was pretty much set dressing.
Literally asleep the majority of the film.
Yeah, she was a plot device in that film.
So I can understand why she would be, why people would be concerned and go like, really? Like the Arrested Development,
like Natalie Portman is great when she wants to be.
When she cares.
She's great when she's the Black Swan.
Mm-hmm.
Not so great when she's Jane Foster. Not so great when she's Padme Amidala.
Yes. So, but I think seeing how well Ragnarok went, and how great of a director Waititi is.
I mean, Valkyrie was great.
I would hope that she has at least a modicum of excitement for being in this role, which means could be great. Mm-hmm.
We could get Black Swan Natalie Portman.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Also, Valkyrie, Tessa Thompson, pretty much announced
outed Valkyrie
as the so Valkyrie is the first LGBT. Official LGBT superhero in the Marvel universe.
She's bi, cool. Everybody.
Yeah, hooray! And the last thing,
I thought that was more like of a duh moment.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah. The last thing, and this is really kind of a cliff note. They also mentioned, oh yeah, by the way, we're also working on Fantastic Four.
Oh, did they say that?
Kevin Feige made an offhand comment about it. We have big big plans for Avengers moving forward. We have big plans for Fantastic Four. And that was, it was almost like a buy, like a, oh yeah, and by the way.
Kind of like a blink and you miss it kind of thing. Yeah.
Here is my theory about all these movies as a whole. Phase four looks really good. They've gone
and out there.
And out there, there are a lot of origin stories in phase four and a lot of restructuring. And I have a feeling what that is they had an idea for phase four. And then all of a sudden, oh, oops, now we have the X-Men and Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
We need about 3 years to figure out what we're going to do because their entire game plan got shooken up. So this is kind of holding pattern until we get X-Men and Fantastic Four. Not saying that this is bad.
Mm-hmm.
I love every one of these projects. Even Hawkeye, which I don't care about.
But you like the Matt Fraction run.
I like the Matt Fraction run. But this is definitely feels like it's holding pattern until we go, okay, what can we do?
Which we need some weird stuff because we've been running on regular for the past couple of years. It's starting to wear a little thin.
They need to do something to revitalize the superhero genre.
So shaking it up is definitely not a bad thing.
Doing a kung fu movie, doing a horror movie.
Well, here's the thing that I've kind of noticed with the Marvel films, like within each phase. First phase was pretty basic, pretty terrestrial outside of Thor.
Yeah.
The second phase was kind of like continuation, then thrown in a bunch of the cosmic stuff.
Yeah.
Then phase three was obviously even more of the cosmic stuff.
This is kind of getting back to
the supernatural stuff.
This is more supernatural bent, and I'm totally for it. That kind of leads me, and this is the last thing because we are way over on time, but the last thing I have is now I have a feeling phase five is going to introduce Fantastic Four. It's going to introduce the X-Men. But more importantly, it's going to introduce Doctor Doom. And Doctor Doom, from the movies, looks like just a Iron Man ripoff, basically. In the comics, he's Iron Man, but also half Doctor Strange. He knows magic.
Mm-hmm.
I can see Doctor Doom becoming like the big bad of like the next big Avengers event.
I mean, he's one of the biggest villains in the entire catalog.
And a lot of Doctor Doom's big cosmic, big magic-y magic storylines deal with alternate realities and changing reality to make himself super king.
I mean, he literally became a god in the comics and got bored with it.
A couple times.
Yeah.
It's happened multiple times.
And then when he came back to being a man, he was Iron Man for a minute.
For a while.
And that was a good book.
Yeah.
But I want Doctor Doom. I don't even care about the rest of the Fantastic Four stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I don't care.
Whatever.
I mean, we have been false started twice on this now.
Yeah.
I don't care about those characters. Maybe The Thing. Maybe Johnny Storm if they write
it right. If anyone can do Fantastic Four and make it right, it's MCU.
Yeah. I mean, get the Russo brothers on it or something, but...
Something. Or get someone else on it, someone new and interesting.
Yeah.
But allow them to do whatever they want with it.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're over on time. We got to wrap up the show. You've been listening to Nerd Overload. Thank you very much for tuning in. You can find us each and every day over at nerdoverload.com.
You can find us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, and Instagram at nerdoverloadnow.
You can email us at staff@nerdoverload.com.
Give us your casting ideas for Fantastic Four for the third time.
Yeah.
Is it the third time or the...
Yeah, third.
Third, okay.
Yeah, fourth or fifth movie?
Third movie.
Third?
This would be...
No, fourth movie. Fourth Murph.
4-4. Fantastic 4-4.
Mm-hmm. I am 100% counting the 90s one.
The one that...
The Roger Corman one.
Roger Corman. Yeah.
It's the best one.
It's the best. It is it's the best and most one. Accurate.
It is. It stupidly is.
Yep.
Anyway,
subscribe to our YouTube channel, Nerd Overload TV.
Yep. You can also find all of our back episodes on places you can find podcasts like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and more. We have a Patreon, patreon.com/nerdoverloadnow. If you like the show and want to help support us, you can actually get the show a few days early by going over and checking that out. And we have t-shirts. You can go to our store page on our main website. Buy a shirt. They're pretty great. They cover you up. They're good. It's a good shirt.
Good shirt. Good shirt, Brent.
Anyway, thank you again for tuning in, and we will be back next week.
Peace out.